Airline Bid Down Under.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. For the second time in a week, we have a possible airline takeover to tell you about. Australia's Qantas says two investment firms want to buy the airline for $8.5 billion. That's about the same price U.S. Airways offered for bankrupt Delta last week. But unlike Delta, Qantas is fairly healthy, says Nicholas Ioannidis of Air Transport Intelligence.
Qantas is an airline that is considered to be very well managed. As many airlines in the world are losing money, it's making decent money, decent by airline standards, which is not good from many other industries.
One of the investment groups making a bid for Qantas is Texas Pacific Group. That's the company that rescued Continental back in 93. Oh, the airports will be frightful today, and the traffic. But what makes this holiday weekend a little harder to swallow is how much we're paying to travel. Amy Scott reports.
If you're flying somewhere for Thanksgiving, chances are you paid more this year. Steve Hendrickson with Sabre Airline Solutions says people who bought their tickets by the end of October paid about 4% more than last year. Early birds who booked by the end of September shelled out 25% more.
The rule of thumb is book early to get the best deals, but it's not always the case.
And it's not just air travel. Christine Brown with AAA says mid-level hotels are charging 16% more this year on average. Rental cars cost an average 21% more.
Over the summer, we had a really flat travel season, you know, compared to the year before. So I think that they're probably trying to recuperate from that.
Travelers planning to take their own cars can also expect higher costs. Gas prices are up almost 4 cents compared to this time last year. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
A light trading day on Wall Street just ahead of Thanksgiving. The Dow gained 5 points to 12,321. The S&P 500 put on two, and so did the NASDAQ. Google hit $500 a share for the first time. The country's agriculture secretary is in India this week. He wants India to open up its markets to U.S. farm products, especially wheat. Miranda Kennedy reports.
This year, India's wheat crop failed to meet domestic consumption needs for the first time in 7 years. Even so, the country refused to buy U.S. wheat to make up for the shortfall. That's because of strict health standards in India, and the only country that's been successful in meeting them is Australia. The health standard issue is one of many that Agricultural Secretary Mike Johanns addressed.
Every study that has looked at this said the hope for lifting the world economy and lifting millions of people out of poverty is going to come from improved market access.
Right now, India exports 5 times more farm products to the U.S. than the U.S. does to India. That's because India imposes hefty tariffs on farm products to protect its own farmers. And when the U.S. talks about better market access, the Indian government points out that the U.S. has some pretty serious subsidy protections for its own wheat and corn farmers. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
You're listening to Marketplace. Just as retailers count on the holiday season, so do movie studios. Hollywood usually makes about 20% of its box office. Here's Ashley Milne-Tite.
2006 has been a much better year for Hollywood than 2005. Box office revenue is up 6% over the same time last year. Paul Dagarabedian is with box office tracking firm Exhibitor Relations. He says last holiday season, films like the latest Harry Potter installment and The Chronicles of Narnia gave the studios a year-end boost. This year...
Not having, you know, a Harry Potter in the mix or a Lord of the Rings makes it a little more interesting, because there has to be a group of films that do well all together instead of just one or two films bringing up the box office.
Still, he's betting that movies from the action adventure, The Blood Diamond, to action comedies like Night at the Museum will help Hollywood end the year in a festive mood. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The Morning Report comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success. SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. Seems every week we hear of a private equity firm buying a public company. This week it was Blackstone Group buying a huge office real estate firm. Last week we learned Clear Channel would be going private. In fact, this year private equity has been involved in 17% of all mergers and acquisitions. Low interest rates have something to do with this, and private equity firms have a lot of spending money. But this week, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson pointed a finger at government accounting regulations. He said laws like Sarbanes-Oxley have saddled public companies with too much of a burden. Commentator Robert Reich believes Paulson is wrong.
If Hank Paulson thinks the flood of private equity-backed acquisitions of public companies is occurring because of regulations like Sarbanes-Oxley, he's either naive or doesn't want you to know the truth. Companies that go private return to the public market within a few years. That's the whole point of the deal. When they go public again, their stock sells at a far higher price than what the private equity firm originally paid for it. So the private partners, along with the CEO and other top executives, make a killing. Why else do you suppose private equity firms are raking in so much money? Why else do you think CEOs have been so eager to do these deals? Sarbanes-Oxley has absolutely nothing to do with it. Sarbanes-Oxley, remember, was put into place to regain the confidence of investors, many of them small investors who got clobbered when CEOs looted their companies by pumping up share prices with false accounting and then cashing in their stock before reality caught up. Enron was the tip of a huge iceberg that's still there. In fact, public companies are restating financial results at a higher pace than ever before. And these aren't just technicalities. The SEC reported last Friday that more than half these restatements are due to companies misapplying basic accounting rules or having the wrong data to begin with. Without Sarbanes-Oxley, investors would never know the truth. Paulson is worried about Sarbanes-Oxley, but he really ought to be worried about the surge of equity-backed acquisitions. It's a new kind of CEO looting that goes beyond false accounting. Here, the CEO advises directors and shareholders that the sale is in the best interest of the company. And then, after the company goes private and shareholders are bought out, the CEO stays on and makes fixes that drive share prices up when the company goes public again. This way, the CEO collects a bundle that otherwise would have and should have gone to the original shareholders. If Paulson wants small investors to stay confident the market isn't rigged against them, he shouldn't try to weaken Sarbanes-Oxley. He should expand it to prevent this new form of CEO looting.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich now teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Your thoughts are always welcome. Log on to our website, marketplace.org, and send us an email. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. And from all of us at Marketplace, have a great holiday.
American Public Media. You could buy.